And now, from the gleaming spires of Chicago, broadcasting to Niflheim, Svartalfheim, Olympus, throughout the nine worlds and beyond, the only Thor podcast hosted by a true descendant of Odin. You are tuned to the immortal sounds of Radio Free Asgard.
And hello, everybody, and welcome to Radio Free Asgard, episode number 159, coming at you, as always, from beautiful Chicago, Illinois. My name is Tom Harris. I'm your host. And coming to you from the home of the Bulls, the Bears, the Hawks, the Sox, etc., etc. And of course, the city once again destroyed in the movies. In Transformers 4, The Age of Extinction. You know, they kind of did a number on downtown Chicago back in Transformers 3, so I was a little bit surprised they chose to go that route in Transformers 4 again. Of course, the destruction wasn't nearly as bad as it was in Transformers 3. It's interesting that one of the buildings they used as a setting for Transformers 4 is actually the former Britannica building. It's the building where I used to work. Not that long ago. I mean, back between 2001 and 2007, I was working in the building, which is now known as the Metropolitan Towers, but they did some damage to that in Transformers 4. And you'll know it in the movie. If you go see the movie, it's the building with the big beehive sort of thing on top, and that's how you can tell it from the others. Anyhow, yeah, so speaking of movies, everybody's talking about that new one, Guardians of the Galaxy. Now, I haven't really seen it. I'm not a fan of Brian Michael Bendis. I don't really care that much. But a lot of people who are seeing it really seem to like it. It's one that we've been, you know, planning on going to see. And, of course, I'm never one of those people who sees a movie the weekend that it opens. It's for us, we're always among the last people to see it because we don't like the crowds. We don't like all that. But hopefully, in the next couple of weeks, we'll be seeing Guardians of the Galaxy. And I really, really hope it does well because it sounds like the movie has been a lot of fun. So, before I get started with this issue, because we have an issue to cover this week, now we are wrapping up this part of the DeFalco Friends run. I'm going to move on to something else after this issue because we have a long storyline coming up here in the run with Thor and Daredevil and a bunch of other people. So we're going to do this Spider-Man team-up issue, and then we're going to move along to something else for a little while. And, you know, we'll come back eventually because we there's a lot of stuff that I want to cover. I mean, there's just so much stuff out there that I really, really want to cover. And we've covered a pretty good chunk of this beginning part of the DeFalco Friends run. I hope you all have enjoyed it. I do have to, before we start with the issue, do another shout-out here. Big shout-out to Loki. Yes, Loki, the evil Loki. Loki DeWitt, who has joined our Facebook group. Hello, Loki, and welcome along to the conversations. And the conversations have continued on from last time I talked about it on the show, talking about Jack Kirby and whether or not he would be a good match for somebody like Grant Morrison. What would you guys think about that? A Kirby Morrison team up. Unfortunately, it'll never happen, but it is fun to think about what Kirby might do with Danny the Street. Well, he probably wouldn't get the joke for one thing. Anyhow, so without any further ado, we have an issue of Thor to cover. So let's go ahead and move along with our review.
Cross the rainbow bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar. You'll behold in breathless wonder the God of Thunder, mighty Thor.
You betcha! And this week we are covering The Mighty Thor number 391. Came out May of 1988, retail for 75 cents. Cover art is by Friends in Breeding. Shows Thor standing atop an unfinished construction site sort of building and being attacked by a colorfully costumed bad guy. Guy wearing a kind of furry yellow and brown sort of suit. You get a very 60s Marvel style cover blurb, call him Mayhem, call him Mongoose, and Thor swinging his hammer around in a rather unfeasible manner as this mongoose person is leaping towards him, and coming up at him from behind is none other than the amazing Spider-Man. Yes, this is guest starring Spider-Man. And we open up to the splash page. Stan Lee presents the Mighty Thor, the Madness of Mongoose. And the splash page shows Spider-Man, not Thor. And he's swinging across the rooftops of New York City, apparently. We have the credits, of course. Tom DeFalco was the writer. Ron Frenz was the penciler. Brett Breeding was the inker. Joe Rosen was the letterer. Kind of a blast from the past there. Christy Scheel was the colorist, and Ralph Macchio was the editor, and Spider-Man's hand is looking really, really small in this issue. Anyway, so Spider-Man is swinging through the streets, and now, this is kind of a criticism, but not really. I mean, it's a very dynamic splash page, and it's very well drawn, I have to say, but the angle that Spider-Man is swinging on the splash page is actually like he's swinging straight down, so, yeah. That's kind of odd. Oh, anyway, so Spider-Man is saying, Yahoo! I'm finally starting to feel like my friendly old web-spinning self again. It's great to be back in my old red and blue costume. Also, apparently, he was not in that for a while. This takes place, incidentally, right after The Amazing Spider-Man number 300. It almost feels like I've come back to an old friend. This particular union suit may be a cheap commercial imitation that I picked up in Germany a few months ago, but I don't care. Nothing can bring me down today, not even the sudden snowfall. Yeah, so it's snowing here in New York City. Even my personal life is great. Being married to Mary Jane is almost too wonderful for words, especially since we moved into our new luxury condo, and she finally has room for her ever-expanding wardrobe. Of course, knowing MJ, that won't last long. She's on a shoot today, modeling next season's swimwear. She's bound to bring home samples, and they'll probably cost more than I've earned in the past few months. Sheesh! It isn't easy to adjust to the fact that my wife makes so much more money than I do, but I'm trying. Who knows? Maybe I'll get a lucky today and snap a few action pics that I can sell to the Daily Bugle. And we see he's swinging past the Bitwell Hotel, which I wonder if that means... I don't know. I don't know if that's significant or not. But even as the Amazing Spider-Man swings past the Bitwell Hotel, he fails to notice a slight tingling. A tingling from his uncanny spider sense, which is trying to warn him of a dangerous presence within the hotel. And we cut to the inside of the hotel, and we have what looks like staff, waiters, room service kind of people, and they're hanging around in the hallway. And one of the guys is like, another room service for room 310?
Yeah, talk about a weird guy. He checked in a few months ago and hasn't been out of his room since. What's he doing in there? Wouldn't you like to know?
And we see the inside of the hotel room there, and we see this guy. He looks like a little bit like Lex Luthor. He's kind of this bald white guy, and he's got these big sharp teeth, so that's rather unlike Lex Luthor. But you know who he reminds me of? He reminds me of the villain, the Tiger Shark, and I think we've seen the Tiger Shark in this comic at some point in the past, but it's not, as we're going to find out soon.
At last, at long last, my patience has paid off. My waiting is over. According to the seismograph, my target has finally returned to the city. He is within range. The time has finally come for me to complete my mission to hunt him down and to feast on his living flesh.
And that's where we see his sharp razor teeth that he has. And we shift scenes to the Mighty Thor. Well, not really the Mighty Thor. He's in his civilian identity as Sigurd Jarlsson, and he is wandering through the snowy streets of New York. And though, for once, he's not standing in the middle of the street. Of course, that's because Jack Kirby is not drawing this issue. And he's thinking to himself, it is good to be back on the planet Earth. Too much time has passed since the God of Thunder last walked among mortal men. I've been to Hell, abode of the dead, and battled celestials on a distant planet, but I am still overwhelmed by the intoxicating vitality of the human race. Never have the heavens beheld a people with such potential for greatness.
I am anxious to return to my apartment and resume my mortal guise as Sigurd Jarlsson. And he changes the corner, and he turns the corner, and he says, "What the?" And he sees a sign for construction here, soon to be the site of a brand new Toys R Bucks. "The building where I used to live, it's gone. What could have happened to it?" And you have a newsstand guy, yeah, typical New York newsstand guy.
"Where you been, Mac? They cleared out all the tenants and tore that old flea trap weeks ago. It's called progress, buddy. Welcome back to the human race."
And yeah, well, if you remember, all that Sigurd Jarlsson really had in his apartment was a mattress. So it's not like he lost anything. And Thor casts his thoughts back home, back to Asgard. And he's thinking to himself, "Time moves so quickly on this mortal world. Things change so rapidly. Mayhaps I should have listened to faithful Baldur, ruler of eternal Asgard, when he suggested that I stay with my own kind. Alas, it is already too late for such thoughts. I can no longer return to the realm of the gods, now that the Rainbow Bridge, which anchored it to the mortal plane, is no more." Now, see, I've never gotten the impression that the Rainbow Bridge anchored it to the mortal plane. It was just a way to get across. Anyway, he's thinking to himself still, "I know I will eventually find a way home. However, in the meantime, I must find a new place to live, and I'd like to pay a visit to an old friend." And he goes to a telephone, and then we then shift scenes to Sigurd, and he's at a construction site, and there's this big skyscraper going up here, and it's Jerry. Remember Jerry from back in the Simonson run? Yeah, well, he's back.
"Man, are you a sight for sore eyes? How'd you ever find me?"
"I called your wife, Jerry. She told me you were working on this construction site."
"You wouldn't be looking for a job, would you?"
"Well, as a matter of fact..."
"Say no more. Jerry Sapristi always takes care of his friends. You're hired. Grab a hard hat and I'll introduce you around."
"Thanks, Jerry. I appreciate this." And Thor and his Sigurd Jarlsson guide is introduced to somebody who's going to become very important as this series goes on.
"Hey, Eric! Eric Masterson! Come meet Sigurd Jarlsson."
"Be right with you, Jerry." "Can you believe these changes? They're insane," says one of the foremen of the group.
"We'll discuss them later, Bill," says Eric.
"Eric's the guy who designed this building, and..."
"Bah! He is only the architect. This building is an Aloysius R. James Lee production. It's my work, my vision, my statement to the world of contemporary architecture. I don't care what it costs or how long it takes. I want it to be perfect. That's why I have decided to tear it down and start over."
"But the building's already half completed."
"Don't bother me with such petty details. I'm a genius, an artist. This building will be a masterpiece." And this guy, the Aloysius James Lee, looks...
I think he's supposed to look like James Brown or, you know, one of these funk artists. We then shift to across the street, and we see the hand of this guy we saw on the cover wearing the mongoose suit. And he's holding what looks like a, I don't know, mother box or tricorder or something or other. And he's saying,
"There on that building site is the one I've traveled halfway around the world to conquer. Within mere moments, he is destined to fall beneath my razor-sharp fangs."
And we cut to Sigurd, and he's on the 23rd floor, and they're carrying around big planks of wood, it looks like, which is odd for... Well, I guess they're putting... I don't know. I mean, maybe they do use planks of wood when they're constructing the skeleton of a skyscraper. And one of the other guys is thinking to himself, "A t-shirt in this weather? This new guy must come from somewhere really cold, like the North Pole." And one of the other guys is going, "Thanks for your help, Sig."
"My pleasure, Phil. Do you think Mr. Jamesley was serious about halting the work on this building?"
"Anything's possible when you're dealing with a psycho." And as he says psycho, we see Sigurd is knocked down with a wham. And he's like, "What the?"
"Something struck me. But what was it? And why me?"
And then we see the costumed figure of the mongoose kind of swirling around here, I guess super speed or whatever. And he's advancing on Sigurd here.
So you are the chosen one, the one who has been honored above all others, the one who has been selected to be my prey, the one who shall soon die a horrible death at the hands of the merciless mongoose.
And Thor is thinking to himself, the mongoose? Never before have I heard of him. Who is he? What does he want? Does he realize that I am secretly the son of Odin? Or is he in league with those Egyptian assassins who attacked me yesterday? I must force him to answer many questions. And so Sigurd launches himself at the mongoose, and he says,
launching yourself at me was a big mistake. With my great speed, I can easily avoid your clumsy attack. You disappoint me, my friend. I was told that you were a great warrior, and that it wouldn't be so easy to defeat you. And the mongoose swipes at him with a fwok and knocks Sigurd off the building, and Thor is falling down, apparently, to his death. And remember, he doesn't have his hammer with him here. And he's singing, Odd's blood. I cannot fly without the aid of my enchanted Uru hammer, and even my immortal body may not survive a fall from this height. But I cannot lose hope. I will not fall victim to despair. I am Thor, God of Thunder, and I will find a way to save myself. And just as he says that, he is rescued by Spider-Man. And he's saying, my, you're a big one. I hate to criticize you, fella, but most people pack a parachute when they go skydiving. You're lucky I just happened to be web-swinging through the neighborhood when I heard all the commotion. Spider-Man, on that construction site. Relax, Blondie. I've already spotted your fur-covered friend. You stay here where it's safe and leave the rough stuff to an experienced do-gooder like me. By the way, you should really consider a haircut. Ponytails are so passe these days. And Spider-Man goes swinging up the building, and he is attacking the mongoose, who's dodging him. Oh, dear. I hope you don't mind if I cut in.
Keep back, Spider-Man. This battle is strictly personal and doesn't concern you.
Give me a break, Bright Eyes. If I only went where I was invited, I'd never go anywhere. And the mongoose is thinking to himself, the fool doesn't realize that our paths crossed once before. And apparently this was back in The Amazing Spider-Man number 283. And Eric Masterson is kind of, I don't know, barking out orders or whatever. Jerry, we've got to evacuate the site and get our men to safety.
I got a hunch that won't be necessary, Eric.
And he sees that Sigurd is running to the office where his bag is, and is thinking to himself, Sigurd's already headed for my trailer, and I know just what he is after. And he's, of course, after the hammer. He goes running in, and he's saying out loud, I must stop the mongoose before innocent lives are lost. And there's only one way to do that. And he grabs Mjolnir, and he bangs it on the ground, and he becomes the Mighty Thor. The Mighty Thor shall defeat him in fair combat. And he takes off into the sky with his hammer, and the passerbys are going, whoa, it's Thor!
Somebody's gonna get clobbered now.
And we cut to the top of the building where the mongoose is still fighting Spider-Man. And for some reason, there's still construction workers here, and along with this Rick James dude. And why they stuck around, I don't know. Maybe they're just dumb. I've got to hand it to you, mongoose, says Spider-Man. You move like the wind. But you've got to be even faster than that if you're going to try to tackle the guy with the proportionate strength and speed of a spider.
Stop leaping around, Spider-Man, says Aloysius. Move in and slug him.
Do you mind? I can do without comments from the peanut gallery, says Spider-Man. But I'm an expert at all forms of physical combat. I've seen every movie ever made by Sylvester Stallone.
Even that can't save the web spinner now, says the mongoose, for speed is not the only weapon possessed by the mongoose.
And he shoots some sort of a gas, his green billows of gas coming out of his wrists, and Spider-Man kind of flies into it, and he's covering up his face. He's like, ugh, he's firing some kind of gas. My spider sense warned me it was coming, but he moved too fast for me to avoid it.
I warned you to stay out of this, Spider-Man, and now you must pay the ultimate price.
Oh, no. Don't tell me that you're going to force me to wear acid-wash jeans.
And Spider-Man is dizzy, and he is kind of trying to recover. And the mongoose grabs him by the head and the chest, and he's like,
I admire your sense of humor, Hero. It's a pity that I must now put an end to it. And you, and it looks like he's about to chomp Spider-Man's neck, but a fist kind of strikes out and smashes the mongoose right in the face with a plunk, and we hear a voice, "No, villain, I say thee nay! How dost thou fare, wall-crawler?" says Thor. "I haven't had this much fun since my last root canal. Where'd you come from so suddenly? Does it really matter?" "Nah, guess not."
"You are a fool, Thor. You should have paid more attention to me than Spider-Man."
And the mongoose has wiggled free from Thor's grasp and is going up the building towards the top. And Thor's like, "Wait, stop!"
"Don't worry, Thunder God. I'm not going anywhere. Though you have changed your appearance, you can't fool me. I told you that I would crush you, and I will."
"Do you really think such a task will be as easy as you make it sound? But this blow put the lie to your words." And for some reason, Thor decides to smack Mjolnir into this deck of wood that's the only floor of this building. And he and Spider-Man and all the people on it are falling now, which is really dumb. And Spider-Man is pointing out how dumb it is. He's like, "Way to go, Goldilocks. What do you do for an encore?" And Spider-Man grabs this Aloysius guy, and he's going, "Yay!
Calm down, mister. I've gotcha."
"This is all your fault, Spider-Man. If you would only listen to me, that madman would have been defeated long ago. Trust me, I'm a genius. Just put me down out of harm's way, and I will gladly direct this fight for you."
"Don't worry, pal. I know the perfect place for you."
And we see he webs this Rick James guy upside down near the ground and with a gag on. He's like, And the mongoose is kind of sweeping around Thor at super speed. And he's like,
"You can't keep this pace up forever, Thor. It's only a matter of time before you fall in an exhausted heap. You'll never be able to stop me because I am just too fast for you."
"Thou art mad, mortal. I am Thor, God of Thunder, and I wield forces which are inconceivable to man. My mystic mallet can attain velocities which are beyond your ability to grasp."
And he starts whirling the hammer around, sort of Ajax White Tornado-y, and it looks as like it's like blowing the mongoose away with a whoosh, and it knocks the mongoose down, apparently.
"Do not presume to speak to me of speed, villain. The speed of the unleashed wind is mine to command. The power and the fury of the raging hurricane is subject to my will. I am the lord of the storm, and thou art only a hapless mortal."
And he whips Mjolnir at the mongoose, and the unbreakable thong grabs the mongoose by the foot and drags him off into the sky. And mongoose is like,
"I don't believe it. His throw was so accurate that he managed to catch my ankle within the hammer's thong. Oh no, I slipped free, and the hammer is returning to Thor as if it were alive."
And so the mongoose is, you know, skyscrapers distance above New York and preparing to fall. But before he can, Spider-Man swings in, grabs him around the neck with his legs.
"Don't panic, playmate. Thor never intended for you to fall to your death. He was just trying to give me something to do, and I appreciate it, too. You can't imagine how difficult it is to keep a friendly neighborhood web-slinger amused. I bore so easily these days. Maybe I just need an exciting hobby, like dabbling in the spark market or juggling explosives." And he's kind of whipping the mongoose around and eventually slams him down on the wooden deck of the skyscraper again with a splat. And Spider-Man's like, "There, that was relaxing, wasn't it? I sure hope you're in the mood for more fun and games, because I've got a hunch our big blonde friend wants to have a few more words with you." And Thor advances on the mongoose, and he says,
"Arise, villain, arise and face me!"
And the mongoose decides that discretion is the better part of valor, and he starts to take off at super speed.
"No, Thor, not this time. Only a fool would continue to fight both you and Spider-Man. And my master does not employ fools."
And he's kind of climbing down the building. And Thor's shouting after him,
"Your master! Who is he? Why did he send you to attack me?"
And Spider-Man's like,
"Forget it, Thunderface. That clown's moving too fast to hear you."
"We must not allow him to escape."
"That's easier said than done."
And the two of them kind of race down to the ground, and they're looking for the mongoose underneath the lower level of the building. And somebody says, "He ran underneath the construction site."
"Hurry, web-slinger," says Thor. "We must find him."
"Slow down, Blondie. I sense danger." And there's a whoosh, and this green gas comes out and envelops Thor. He's like, "Gas!" And the mongoose is like, "Ha! I knew that headstrong oaf would fall into my trap." And now he picks up the mongoose. I guess he's really super strong as well. He looks like he picks up like a crane or a bulldozer or something, though it's a pretty small bulldozer to fit inside this little confined area they're in. And he smashes out one of the support columns, and the building starts to wobble and to collapse. And Spider-Man's like, "The building can't stand without them. She's coming down." And we see Jerry, and there's like girders and shit falling off the building. And Eric Masterson is like, "Jerry, look out." And we cut to the ground where Jerry and Eric Masterson are, and we see like girders and shit falling from the building. And Eric, I guess, sees them, and he's like, "Jerry, look out." "No, Eric, don't." And he tries to push Jerry away, and he keeps him away from the debris, but he is trapped underneath the falling girders with an "arg." And Jerry's like, "Oh my God, Eric." And then we see Spider-Man and Thor, and Thor is actually kind of propping up the building. And Spider-Man's like, "Thor, the mongoose is gone. We've got to get out of here. It's only a matter of seconds before the whole building comes crashing down on us." And Thor's like, "No, we cannot leave. Too many innocent lives will be lost." "Are you crazy, man?" says Spider-Man. "Not even you can stop it from falling." "But I must," says Thor. And he's single-handedly supporting this entire building, and we get a full-page splash of the building, and we can see that it's shaking, and Thor's like, "I must!" Thor's like, "Hurry, Spider-Man, help me!" And Spider-Man realizes what Thor has in mind, and he starts picking up girders to prop up the building. And so while Thor's holding up the building, Spider-Man is kind of shoving these makeshift supports into place, and Spider-Man's thinking about, "Oh boy, I ought to have my head examined for sticking around down here, but I can't leave him, not now. Hang on, pal, I'm coming. Just give me some time to slam these girders into place. Only a few seconds more." And we can see that holding up the building is really straining Thor. He's like, "Hurry, please, the pressure is beyond belief. My strength is already beginning to fail." And apparently Thor has gained Spider-Man just enough time that he's supported the building with about 6 or 7 girders. I don't know if that would really be enough, but anyway. "That's it, pal. It's over. You can relax now. You just brought a new definition to the word hero. Your little stunt is going to haunt me the next time I think I've done something spectacular." And we can see that Spider-Man is webbed to the girders in place, and the building is not collapsing after all. "I am in your debt, wall crawler," says Thor. "I could not have survived without your aid." "Forget it, Goldilocks," says Thor. "Just tell me what you eat for breakfast. I'd like to buy it by the cord." And Jerry's like, "Hey, Thor, we got a problem here. Eric was hit by some falling debris. He needs a doctor. Fast." And of course, because Eric Masterson has been hit by falling girders and shit, so Thor just picks him up like a rag doll and slings him over his shoulder because, you want to move somebody who might have internal injuries, right? I guess Thor has forgotten his medical training. "Stand ye back," says Thor, and he wings his hammer around and he takes him off to the hospital. "I will quickly transport him to the nearest hospital." And Spider-Man is saying, Who needs Federal Express when you can have a Thunder God on the payroll?" Spider-Man is like, all of a sudden, he's like, "Ah, shoot." And the construction worker's like, "Something wrong, Webs?" "Nah, forget it." And Spider-Man goes swinging away, and he's thinking to himself, "In all the confusion, I never activated my automatic camera and don't have a single picture for the Daily Bugle. Wee, 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 wee. Sheesh, there are some days I just can't do anything right." And we then shift scenes, and we are back on Asgard. We have Baldur, and he's on horseback, and he's riding through the place where the battle took place, and there's still, like, smoke coming up out of the ruins and shit. And he's thinking to himself, "Where is the mighty Thor? What hath become of our greatest warrior during Asgard's darkest hour? For the past several weeks, savage invaders have ravaged our beloved land. We desperately need Thor's help, but we cannot find him. Is it possible that he has perished? We must reach Midgard to find his fate, but we cannot cross to the mortal plane now that the Rainbow Bridge is no more. And yet, the Grand Vizier has a plan."
And Baldur arrives back to the palace, and the guards are saying, "All hail Baldur the Brave, ruler of all Asgard."
"Where is the Grand Vizier?" asks Baldur. "I must see him."
"In his laboratory, sire."
And so Baldur goes into the lab, and the vizier is there. "How fares your plan to reach Midgard?"
"Well, my lord, but the risks are most grave."
"'Tis no matter. I would gladly sacrifice myself for the safety and salvation of Asgard."
"Alas, noble Baldur, I fear another has already claimed that honor."
"What?"
"I could not stop them, my lord."
And we see that the Warriors Three are there in the laboratory. And we see, of course, Hogun and Fandral and Volstagg. And Hogun is kind of strapped into this device sort of thing. And Fandral's like,
"Hogun the Grim and I wrestled for the privilege of going in thy stead, sire."
"Aye, and Fandral lost," says Hogun.
"What madness is this? I'm the Lord of Asgard. It is my duty to go. Climb down, Hogun, now. I command thee."
"No, sire. Thy duty is here. Here. To lead thy people through these desperate times."
"Aye, there is much sense in what you say," says Baldur.
"So be it. Let the process begin. And may the gods have mercy on thee."
And there's a crackle of energy, and we see Hogun is engulfed in this gold glow of Kirby crackle. And we have the next issue blurb.
"The frightening fate of Hogun the Grim. A startling guest appearance by a certain man without fear, and the son of Odin battles a terrifying menace when quicksand kills."
And that is Thor number 391. Now, of course, I do have a few things to say about this issue, and I'm going to say them after this.
You like cheap comic books, right? Well, I'm Professor Allen, and I talk about cheap comic books on the Quarterbin Podcast. In every episode, I'll dissect a single comic from my collection, as long as I paid no more than 25 cents for the issue. Forget about $4 new comics that you can read in 4 minutes, or crossover events that can cost $100 to collect. Join me in the Quarter Bin, where even bad comics are a bargain, and good ones are a steal. The Quarter Bin Podcast is part of the Relatively Geeky Podcast Network. Visit us at relativelygeekypodcast.blogspot.com or search Relatively Geeky or Quarterbin Podcast in iTunes. I guarantee it'll be worth every penny.
And we're back. So I do have a few comments to make about Thor number 391. First of all, it doesn't really read like an issue of Thor, does it? It really reads like an above-average edition of Marvel Team-Up. And I'm kind of wondering, is that what the plot was originally written for? Because we have almost as much focus on Spider-Man as Thor. I guess you could argue Thor is really more the focus. All the character bits, of course, are Thor. But you could very easily take these out. And you know, some of them you could take out and you can put in Spider-Man moments. And you would basically have an issue of Marvel Team-Up. And it's getting into another sequence of guest appearances here in the Thor book. And we've seen this before on the show, though this actually predates that. But it seems as though they're casting around with these guest stars, try to gain readers from other books. And I don't know if that was because maybe the book wasn't selling quite so well at this point. They're still trying to recover from, you know, the end of the Simonson run and sales were down. And, you know, so we have this, you know, Spider-Man in this issue. We've got Daredevil for the next three issues. And it just seems like there's a lot of the sort of guest appearances going on. It reminds me a whole lot, actually, of Thor Volume 2. And, that, of course, we're going to be going back to that at some point in the near future. So it's interesting. It's very, very, very interesting that it seems like when sales are low, you start to try to get your connected universe all in order. artwork is generally really good, and there's a lot of places here where this doesn't look like Ron Frenz. Of course, Ron Frenz, I mean, he drew a lot of Spider-Man, didn't he? So, of course, he draws a great Spider-Man. Spider-Man looks really good. And even though he says the costume is a cheap imitation that he bought in Germany, I mean, you can't tell from the issue. It still looks pretty good. Apparently, this was right after all the drama with you know, the alien symbiote costume. They had to get rid of it and you know, have Venom and all that stuff coming in about this time. And, of course, the wedding to Mary Jane is still new. This is still, you know, it's a recent history as far as this goes. The Mongoose, to me, like I said, he looks a lot like Tiger Shark when he's not in costume. So I want to kind of wonder, is this guy supposed to be Tiger Shark or not? I don't know. I doubt it. It's good to see, you know, Jerry Sapristi. I mean, it's nice that they didn't get rid of all the vestiges of Walt Simonson. They didn't go back to having Thor be Don Blake. They've kept Sigurd Jarlsson around, at least for now, because we know what's coming. We're seeing a change coming here. Now, this is the last of this run that we're going to be covering for the moment. We're going to come back to it, of course. But for now, we're going to move on to something else. You covered the first major story arc. That is kind of what I had said in prior episodes that we were going to do. I still don't know quite what we're going to move on to, though. So it's possible that maybe I'll decide to cover this Daredevil story after all before moving on. But we'll see. I'm actually planning on doing something a bit different next time. All right. So you can email the show if you want to. The email address is radiofreeasgard@gmail.com. And don't forget to join Loki and the rest of us over on Facebook. That is the Radio Free Asgard group on Facebook. Just search for us there and you will find us. All right, so that's it for this week. Thanks once again very much for listening, folks. And we'll see you next week here on Radio Free Asgard. Radio Free Asgard is the property of Tom Harris USA Productions, which is totally responsible for its content. The Mighty Thor, his supporting cast, and the various stories that we feature on this show are copyright Marvel Comics and are presented for review and educational purposes, and we hope you find them entertaining as well. Musical selections from Eden, the Invincible Sword of the Elvesmith, are copyright Motzvent and are used with permission. If you like what you've heard on the show, we hope you'll tell your friends, or leave us an iTunes review, or even join our Facebook group. We do love hearing from our listeners. And if you didn't like it, well, oh well, we'll try to do better next time. Once again, thank you very much for listening to Radio Free Asgard.